हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 79. As well, we have the example of Ajamiya, the one who thinks, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to accept Guru? I will attain the Lord just by chanting the name, will not attain the Lord, because of the offense of offending Guru, third offense. However, in this life or another life, if he surrenders at the feet of Guru after destroying his offense, he will then attain the Lord. Right? So, in other words, one doesn't avoid taking initiate because you say, oh, we don't need to. Because otherwise there's the whole point. There's supposed to be a relationship with senior devotees. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's interesting. In Harinam Chintamani, there's a point that to take you from Namabhas to Shudanam, that's where the guru comes in. This mm-hmm. is what he does. That okay. Because to Namabhas you can come on your own. But then...
From Namabhas to Pandam.
Yeah, you can't do it on your own. You need help.
Yes. Well, just like you can't get from Brahmabhuta to Prema without help.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's the same kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Okay. Some people say that persons who worship Devatas should be treated like the Karmis with sin and offense. Others say the Bhakti Devi places them in an even lower category because they do not have general surrender. Thus it is said, Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shradhayan vita te pi mam eva kanteya yajant yavidhi purvakam. Those who are devoted to other gods and with faith worship them, they also worship me, but by the wrong method, O son of Kunti. Right, so they're worshiping Krishna, but by the wrong method, because they don't see that the potency in the demigod, why the demigod's being worshipped is Krishna. They think it's just the demigod on their own. Right? So that's the problem. So they also are not devotees. Right? So therefore, just, you know, yeah. So they're not technically in a lower category. They're just, it's just karma. That's all. Just some, you know, you have to... Somebody has to be worshipped in karma, so therefore the devatas, so they're getting closer to Krishna, that's why it's pious. But they're not interested in actually worshipping Krishna. But for those who are simply offenders, there's no deliverance at all. It is said, Tanaham dvishata kuran samsareshu naradhaman kshipam yasajuram Asubhan, Asurish Veva Yonishu. I cast those hateful, cruel, and lowest of humans, constantly doing evil, into repeated birth and death in the wombs of demons. Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Because their offenders are not interested in doing anything better, so they'll be put into association where they can always continue to be offenders. Right? Because they want to be offenders, they want to go to hell, so Krishna gives them the arrangement so they can. Right, because if you're in good association, harder to go to hell. But if you're in bad association, then it comes quite easily. Right, it's very, very natural. Some persons also say that these offenses are destroyed by mental absorption in hatred on the Lord, since it is said, Kamad dveshad bhayat snehad yata bhaktyeshvare mana avayesh. Avayeshya tad agham hitva bahavas tad gatim gata. Just as by Vaidhi Bhakti one can attain one's spiritual goals, many persons have attained suitable forms after absorbing their minds in the Lord out of lust, hatred, fear, and family relationships filled with affection, and after giving up absorption and enmity of the Lord in the case of hatred and fear. This idea is represented in the verses such as the following. Namaparadha yuktanam naman yeva harantigham avishranti prayuktani tanyevarta karani cha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. Right? So one, however one approaches the Lord, then that can be there. One moves forward. Right, even if it's in these other ways, but the problem is after giving up absorption enmity, then one can actually develop proper affection. Right, does that make sense? There might be a respect for the Lord, but the point is that has to happen. Like the person is absorbed, they become merged in Brahman by being killed by the Lord. Then now being purified, now there's no basis for enmity.
Yes.
So now, from that purified state, now they remember the Lord. Then in that position, then they give that up. Then they move to Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But for everyone else, even we're chanting with offenses, then we become free from such offenses by chanting. We just continue the chanting. We'll become free. We come to Nama Bas, and then from there we'll come to Kshudana.
Yes.
Others say that absorption means repeated meditation in order to be effective. Others say there's no absolute rule when Krishna appears in the world. Thus, some persons, without being absorbed in the Lord, but simply by being killed by the Lord, such as Narakasura, Banasura, and the troops of the Kauravas, and others, simply by the influence of seeing the Lord, attain the Lord. This was previously mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So basically, if it's connected to the Lord, then there's some benefit. But when it's done, according to recommendation, according to guru, in affection, that's where you get your best results. Right. Otherwise, you might get liberated, but that's kind of where it ends. Right. Okay, so. Okay, so page 39. The Vishnu Dutas continue. By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. So, the others will purify you, but they don't awaken you to Krishna consciousness. So chanting the holy name will purify and awaken. So therefore, it's a superior process. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe, and most severe sinful actions. It's funny. Severe, more severe, and most severe, rather than, kind of light and then a little heavier, then, it just starts out with severe, more severe, yeah. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Samhita and Parasara Samhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. It'll just remove the reactions, but it won't remove the mentality. Mm-hmm. Right? By thinking about it, thinking there's other, you might try to adjust, so you might in that way change your mood, but it doesn't get rid of the desire seeds.
Yes.
Those may come up again. Right? And then you can't guarantee how you're going to respond. The Vishnu Dutas continue. The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs towards material activities. Right? Because that's the whole point of karma, is it's material. So you do a material activity, then you do something wrong in material, so therefore you try to correct it in material, but the point is the consciousness is still material. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruit of reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra or glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Performance of atonement for 12 years is considered inferior to chanting the name, right? Because mentioned before, 12 years is the maximum, you know, atonement. Since the mind pursues the path of sin after performing atonement, which does not completely purify the mind, for persons desiring complete destruction of karmas, constant chanting of the name and qualities after Anu, hearing them from someone, is the real purification of one's existence. I guess because it destroys all desires. According to Amar Kosh, the word Anu means after as well as similar. Right, so we constantly, we hear the name, form, qualities of Pasana after hearing them from someone, right, who's heard them from someone who's in the parampara. Does that make sense? That will then bring us to this position. Why do you criticize committing sin again after doing atonements? We can explain that this is similar to being bitten by a snake without any teeth, since it is caused simply by remaining impressions, just as you explained about commission of sin after chanting. Remember, because then, previous point. So remember, the materialistic consciousness does not forget. Right? So then here you're saying, okay, but why are you complaining that, you're saying that by doing chanting and all that, then all the sin is removed. So one may perform something, but it's like being bit by the teeth of the snake. So now why, I mean, being bit by the snake that has no teeth. So now why is it here we're saying, but if you don't get purified by chanting, then, you know, you'll again take up these activities. But you already said that even if a devotee, after chanting, takes up, does something sinful, it's still not going to have that reaction. So why we're so big on saying, using this as an example, that, but you're still going to be involved in sinful activity, since we already said it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. You understand? So we're dealing with very intelligent people here, right? That really thoughtful. They can really think down these things, right? So, you know, we're doing pretty good by people who are just a bit emotional or, you know, think themselves smart, right? But, you know, here you're dealing with people who know the Vedic literature and they're very intelligent, right? So Vishwanath is answering those. Maybe it'll have, but they'll, because of sense control, that they'll be able to keep it. You know, so they'll be able to ask it very nicely. Doesn't mean the underlying is not. Yes. Yes, but the point is that people ask these questions. In the Vedic thing, you talk with Indian general and no scriptures, they can ask questions like this. So we're thinking, oh, what do you need all this technical point? But there are people who know these things. And as time goes in the society, as people become more adjusted with following things and all that, these questions will be relevant. So maybe they're not today, but after a few generations, they will be. You know, so that's why they're important. You know, we'll tend to, oh, it doesn't match today, we'll cut them out. But no, it's they need to be there. So, yes.
It's interesting that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in other presentation of Krishna consciousness, he's, you know, very emotional. I mean, he's like...
Yeah. Well, that's the point, is how much you can go one way, you can go the other.
I mean, he's the top.
Yeah. So no one minds that if you can be analytical and emotional, that's fine. Yeah. Problem is if you're only analytical or only emotional. Yeah. You know, like in the morning, that was a difficulty because the person is only emotional, it can't analyze. Since we're dealing in an analytical environment, then it makes it very hard to switch from this environment to that. You know, you talk to them privately, you get that emotional mood, then you just deal in that emotional forum. But since it's an analytical forum, then it becomes very hard to deal with that.
Rasa-basa.
Yeah, so that's the difficulty. You know, because you're not dealing with both. You're not dealing with someone. He understands that, but then there's this point, you know, so it's, okay, that's understood, the analytical side. But then what about this? It's kind of like, I understand, but it's kind of making me feel bad, and now I'm the, you know, I'm already the victim, and now you're making me more the victim that I'm wrong. You know, I was the victim, I'd been wrong, but now I find out I am wrong. You know, it's just, you're just making me feel, you know, how is this supposed to, you know. You know, so then the problem is, and then, you know, so then the only shelter is Freud, because they'll make you feel good. Not very devotional, but hey. Yeah. So the whole point is that if there's a balance, then you can use both. How much that you know, get, then you can use the emotional because they'll match. But in here is the one's not there, so. Where's the entrance in? You know, like you're discussing, so you can't go into the emotional from the analytical because you can't analyze emotions. You know, and that's. So. You are mistaken. Our explanation of the name is valid. Excuse me. So, now Vishnu is saying, you are mistaken. Our explanation of the name is valid because of statements saying that the name destroys all sins along with desires. It is not simply imagination. How can you make your claim? Since there are no statements in the scriptures saying that atonement destroys all desires, and even in the exaggerated claims of Karmakanda, one does not hear that atonement causes decrease of sinful desires. This was stated previously. So we're saying that, he's saying, so then what's the big deal if it comes back? But it doesn't get rid of desires. Therefore, when you perform a sinful activity in karma, perform the atonement in karma, and then it comes back again, it comes back with teeth. Right? Well, when the devotee, he's devotion, chanting the holy name, it removes the karma. Even if he performs something, it comes back without teeth. Right? So the point is even without teeth, it's going to be an obstacle to developing pure devotion. So that's why it's removed. Yes. So the problem is it gets in the way of pure devotion, not that it's a sin there, there's the big deal. Right? Mm-hmm. If you're dealing karma, then right work is good, wrong work is bad. But in devotional service, then remembering Krishna is good, not remembering Krishna is bad. So that's it actually shifts what's bad. So it's not that the activity is the problem. It's the mentality that one would be doing the activity. Yes. You understand?
So in this sense, can we say that when we practice pure devotional service, then sins we don't have anymore, but whatever happens to us, it turns into anarthas?
Yes. Yeah, basically, they're anarthas. Yes. We would look at it as anarthas.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't have anarthas because you could relate to them about anarthas and that things that are in the way of them being pious, like that, like let's say they're not following the sadhana or not doing this, you know, not having the right attitude, you know, not being humble or being respectful. Mm-hmm. So you could explain it as anarthas and they would understand it that way.
Yeah.
But their goal, therefore, is just to perform proper karma so they're happy, or liberation. Mm-hmm. So even though it looks like that, it's not actually, because the whole system is an anartha.
Yeah.
Karma is an anartha. Jnana is an anartha.
Yeah.
So this is a detail within. You know. Yeah. So it still remains, because they may remove something that they can do the karma better, but still just that they're doing karma, that's the anartha. You know what I'm saying? So you can show it on all the levels. Just like things that explain how karma works, we can use it in describing the practice of bhakti. That's why sometimes it comes to confusing, because in one place it'll be talking about, you know, the duties and that of varnashram. And it'll be talking about how the devotee follows the rules, he does everything to please the Lord and this and that. So you see it as it's something to do. And then a couple of verses later, a couple of verses before, it's talking about how this attachment to, you know, the fruit and results and all, the, you know, like that. So the problem comes is we think it's the activity itself, it's the varnashram itself. But it's the mentality in which you practice it is the problem.
Even Krishna, he preaches, you know, karma mimamsa kumandapa.
Yeah. It's
very important.
Yeah, so like that. It works. Okay. The Vishnu Dutas continue. At the time of death, this Ajamil helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayana. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else. Jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, right? So therefore that question of chanting at the yoga studios, that's for musical entertainment, like that. They get benefit. They get benefit. Now, if they hear from devotees when it's, you know, it's about proper chanting and that, they'll get more benefit. Yes, or neglectfully, so that's where we come in, right? Or indirectly, something goes wrong. Oh, Krishna, you know, we don't actually mean Krishna, we just mean something went wrong. You know, we could have said, gee whiz, you know.
It's better than the previous version.
Yes, it's definitely better than anything that we've been doing since we're, is what we would have been saying since we're 10 years old. Right? Yes. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures, 13 to 14. In his commentary to verse 14, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. So you see a lot of commentary in this section. It's actually a very important section. You know, very technical points. What type of chanting destroys all sins? This is expressed by showing how even lesser degrees of quality in chanting still have effect. Sanketyam means chanting with reference to someone like one's son. The suffix ya added to sanketya, sanketa, has the meaning relating to convention. All the terms mentioned should be understood to be in the instrumental case. By calling the name of a son, joking, etc., parihasyam means calling jokingly, but with affection, not with criticism. O famous one, your fame is like that of Krishna, since you can save me. Stobham means to chant the name in order to provide proper meter during a discourse or song. Helanam means that the name of the Lord is uttered with disregard without attention. Hela is used similarly in a phrase like Krishna lifted Govardhan casually, Helaya, without effort. Right? So it's one of the Sanchari Bhavas, is that, you know, how you say, of Hela, is just that it's a slight disregard. The respect is not there. The attention is not there. Right? Does that make sense? So here, even if that in dealing with the name, then it's not dealt with full attention, it still has effect. The name still has effect. Just remembering this. What does the bag say? What does the bag say? 1 million acts of greed. In London, they had a bag something like that. I think it's not Safeway's. Sainsbury's. And it was a bag basically like this for, you know, carrying your stuff so you didn't have to get charged with plastic bags or paper bags or whatever. And they were £5, right? The bag. You know, like this, I think it was a touch bigger, but basically like that. And so then, you know, they sold out. I guess they just made it once, and that was it. And I guess, you know, it wasn't that great of a sale, so they didn't redo them. So that was when I came to England. Then I went traveling around Europe, and then when I was leaving to come back to India, then in the In-Flight magazine, it was talking about that this bag is now, you, instead of buying it for £5, it's on eBay for 200. Somehow or other, they became a fashion thing. So hold on to it. It may be worth a lot. 150. Wow, even better. Right? This is Calcutta, 150. So buy a bunch of those, put them on eBay. Others cannot utter the name with effort as much as these persons will utter the name of Krishna without effort while eating, playing, or sleeping. This chanting is also without criticism or disrespect. Right? So there's no criticism, there's no disrespect. They're just saying it. They're not knowing what it's for. They're not worried and thinking about it's the Lord's name, non-different from Him. Like that. So just the name is being said. So then that will be Nama Bas. It gets the effect. Right? When you add in the criticism or disrespect, then now it starts taking on the offensive nature. Yes. Even that, it'll have effect, but it doesn't mean you're not getting the reactions to the offense at the same time. But here, if it's said like this, and Nama Bas, it'll clear everything. Yes.
It's often weird to practice. If you don't know much about the name, and you don't really care, if you do, you get a benefit. Unknown. But when you become a devotee and you start chanting, and then you become more aware, you commit offenses.
But you were committing them all along anyway.
There were a disregard.
Oh, this, yeah, without. But as a devotee, you're not supposed to disregard it.
The offenses were disregarded.
No, but I'm saying you're not supposed to. So those come up from, in other words, Krishna consciousness knew, so then we're just involved and like that. But as we get to know things, different things, but also we see as simultaneous, it's not the getting to know, it's our previous kind of mentality and habits. Those are what's coming up, because that's what causes the problem, not the knowing.
But it just seems like the effect of our change and being neutralized by the offenses more than when we didn't know and we're just
So then either know more or stay joking around. So either stay very simple or learn something and mature. You know, it's just like, okay, the kid, they survive, right? The adults survive, right? Everybody's cool with them. It's the teenagers that have the problems. Mm-hmm. So in other words, grow up or stay very pure. It's just part of, that's just the way it works. Point is, benefit's always there. Yeah. It's just we're aware of what we're doing wrong when before we weren't. Not that we weren't doing it wrong. Yeah. You know, but because we weren't aware, it's taken, you know, lighter. As we become aware, because we are aware in what? Are we only aware in the spiritual? No, we become more aware in the material. Before it was like, you know, wherever you are, that's where you sleep. Whatever they give you to eat, that's food. You know, whatever vehicle you get in, that's, you know, that's how you get somewhere. Whatever clothes they give you, that's what you wear. So, therefore, you know, that's the way you are in everything. But as we, oh, I want to wear this, I want to be here, I only want to eat this, I want to do this and that, then naturally, then it goes with the thing. So, you know, the two go together. If we want to materially discriminate, then those considerations have to be there. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say you have two men speaking, and you have the brahmachari who's, you know, very simple and all that, and then you have the, you know, grihastha man, right? Sure. Now, let's say, whereas some ladies are there, then both of them, I mean, or you take it one or the other, something is said that is not agreeable to ladies. Right? Now, the grihastha man is definitely in trouble. But the brahmachari, if he's one who's perceived as is pure and all that, then it's just annoying, but it's just nobody cares about it. Right? So that's the thing. When you discriminate, then you get discriminated. You know, means discrimination goes your direction also. If you don't discriminate, no one discriminates towards you. You discriminate, then you're discriminating. Does that make sense? Yeah, so like that. So it's just a matter of continuing the process. We get purified. You know, all these different kinds of things go away, and then the problem's gone. So we just have to keep going. So this idea, beginning's good enough, then. So the point is, if beginning's good enough, as long as materially it's good enough also. It can't be that materially we're becoming sophisticated and spiritually we're not.
Yes.
You know, so that's why it's difficult when, oh, but when Prabhupada's here, we only chanted, we didn't do all these things. Yeah, when Prabhupada's here, everyone lived in the temple and didn't have anything either. You know, so why are you talking about money and facilities and jobs and payment and insurance and all that? So, you mean one develops, the other develops. You can't just pick and choose. You know? Does that work? Nindam bhagavata shrinvams tat parasya janasyava tato na paiti yasopi yat yadha sukritach chuta. Anyone who fails to immediately leave the place where he hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down, bereft of his pious credit. And so that's the point. This can't happen. There is no forum for critically analyzing or discussing things about the Lord and his devotees. Does that make sense? It's just not there. It means the points can be discussed in a way to understand, but it can't be that we're criticizing and then think that, you know, that's just an opinion, it's just as that. It has to be an actual sincere question that there's a doubt or misgiving, and so then it's dealt with. Because otherwise the criticism comes up, then one has to deal strongly. Either everybody leaves and leave that one person there, or everybody stays, make him leave, you know, either, whatever. But the point is that the discussion can't continue. So that's the point, is that since hearing this can't happen, that means then there's a difference if there's criticism or disrespect. Thus, criticism and disrespect, such as Vena saying, what is the use of Vishnu, is filled with fault, and thus does not have effect. I say Shagha, Haram, means that not only all sins, but also all desires are destroyed by chanting. Right? So, if it's done in this state of Namabhava, then it purifies everything. Right? But the offense, depending on what it is, then that's going to have some problems along with it. Right? It doesn't mean that... How you say? And thus does not have effect. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, the importance of preaching about the pure name. Because if we don't preach about that, and we develop on the material platform, then we can't guarantee that our spiritually we're developing nicely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How much
should
we stress, especially in children? Importance of chanting properly.
I would say is just as long as they're happy to chant, that's good. What do you mean by properly?
Because they speak the beliefs, they chant.
I would just say is just as long as they're happy to chant and they like chanting, then that's good. Prabhupada even had it, the small kids.
I'm talking about small kids.
Yeah, they had the small kids. He said don't even give them beads if they can't deal with them. Yeah. No, but it means as long as they can, you know, not deal with them badly or stick them in their mouth or, you know, break them or stuff like that, then they can deal. But if they skip the beads, don't worry about it. They're chanting.
Because the worry is not about this specifically because they're still small. But when they grow, they kind of have it as a habit.
No, it's as they grow, they become more aware.
And we're talking about...
Because why would they skip? Because their motor skills aren't that great. You know, at what point do they become... The point is then okay, if they, let's say you're supposed to chant how many rounds?
16.
Okay, 16. So now that they chant 16 in, you know, 12 minutes, now they should, you know, now they're so expert and so mature, now they should go for more rounds. Right? So now they should chant, you know, 32 or 64. Point is they're taking that long. But still, chanting for an hour, 15 minutes is good. Be happy. Like that. You know, you can always at another time talk about, you know, chanting and being careful about this and that. But at the time, you have to see if it's worth mentioning or not. Because better is to keep the enthusiasm to chant. Because that will give the taste. Then these other things will naturally come. Because that's the thing is, other than these direct devotional activities, those are encouraged. But other things, it's not a matter of encouragement. You have to do them. You know, it's like, you know, you get up in the morning, you do brush your teeth, you do take your bath, you do dress properly, you do, you know, you can't behave badly, you can't, you know, make a, you know, make a scene at the table, you know, you can't do that. But this, so those, it's not a matter of, the modern is, oh, you encourage, and that, no, that's on the spiritual, that you encourage. But on the material, you don't train them, they become badly behaved. You know, as seen in the modern thing.
But those you encourage them, spiritual ones.
Those you encourage, and then you always try to get them to go, because you don't want them to lose the taste there. The material is, there's no taste anyway, so there's no meaning that they lose the taste, because there never was one in the first place. You know, so there's nothing lost. You know? They don't like to do their work, but adults don't like to do their work. So it's not that it's, you know.
And if the motive is for spiritual, is not exactly, you know, to develop love of God, because they don't really care that much.
No, because they don't know, they're not mature. So they're doing it because you do it. And so as long as they like you, they do it. And when they don't like you, they stop doing it. So that's why they have to like you, but not like you just simply by tricks, but like you as a person. That's why the whole point is, you deal with them as a person, they'll respond in that way. So it can't be just sentimental, and it can't be just external. So that's the point. Because in the beginning, they'll do it just because you're doing it. And then, because they're doing it, then they'll start to get better. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On this point of criticism, sometimes, you know, senior people want to share their, you know, whatever it is. You know, because we've just been around, and they know us, and this and that, and then, you know, it starts okay, but then, you know, it goes like really into criticism. And
that's when you remember that you forgot and left that box of ice cream on the other side of Mayapur that you have to get right now.
So we shouldn't worry if it's impolite or this.
No, no, you just, I mean, be politely. Leave,
or politely
just said, "Hey, this is way over my head," you know, and like that, you know, I should, you know, it's just, I don't understand these things.
Yeah, that one we tried, and then they just continued because they're already in an emotional state.
Then you just leave.
Yeah.
You just say, "Oh, excuse me, I'll be right back," and then come back later, you know. Like that. And by that time, they'll be doing something else anyway. Yeah. So
probably next time they want to.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you do that every time, there's a pattern here. Are you leaving because I'm saying these things? No, no, no. Keep going. No, it's not. So unless there's something there, and then you can bring it back to looking at it in a different way, then maybe it's worthwhile to get involved. But if not, then don't get involved like that. Because that's the problem. You're around them, they get comfortable, criticize, but you're not around, they get grumpy, why you're not around, so it doesn't work out very well.
Lose-lose.
Like this, like I got that, you know, this year, why don't I ever come around in that, but then I heard it was so critical of everything, you know, like that, so I didn't go around, and then suddenly, then they were in Calcutta and gone, so then I didn't have to worry about it. Yes.
Sometimes it helps to also keep that praise of the person.
It depends on if emotionally involved, because you can't support a person that they don't like. If it's a matter of they're seeing it kind of and it's wrong and this and that, but it's not that, then you can do that. Just like, yes, like that. Here, as you're talking, senior and that, so that would be possibly more of a chance, but you can't do that with family members. Like that. If your wife's upset about someone with somebody and you praise them, that's a big no-no. That'll take years to go away, that one. You just don't do that. Point is they're wrong. They're wrong. That's it. It means they may have some parts that they're right, but not now. Now they're wrong. That's just the way it is. And that's Manu. Manu says it. Manu says you have to do that. You know, if they don't like somebody, you don't like them. You know, so the, you know, Manu, it is, you, a friend of yours is a friend of mine, so that also has the inverse. Does that make sense? Yes.
But with friends, you also have to do that? Like, except if your friend doesn't like somebody,
It depends on how close they are. If they're formal, then you don't have to.
No.
If they're intimate, then that. Then if they're not, then... Yeah, one time I had here, because we had it during the festival, all the different senior men staying, you know, in the Gurukul, in different huts and everything like that. And then something came up in the meetings, and they were totally, you know, not on the same page, you know. And then that's the problem, is, you know, they're all there and each one has their, you know. it was wild.
Awkward.
Huh? Awkward, yes, it was awkward. And then we shifted to the new place, and then we solved that problem. But yeah, because before our life was simple, so they're all there and everybody's cool. You just have to see. If they're closer, then you have to be more careful. But if they're more just acquaintances, then, you know, you don't have to deal anything and this and that, but just, you know,
in other words,
close friends, then you have to see, you know, what's there. And you may, at least around them, be a little neutral. You have to be careful. It's tough. That's the problem, is if one's able to work with a variety of people, but then those people can't work with a variety of people, that's the difficulty. But that's how you say it, the material world, how the cookie crumbles. The Vishnudutas continued, if one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Footnote 22. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 14 to 15. Bhagavad Akram Ichimala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti Executed Exclusively by Taking Shelter of the Holy Name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book.
Yes?
Yes.
So chanting would always be in the Abhideya?
Yes, chanting would be in the Abhideya.
Because it's an activity?
Yes. It means it's the process. You may be talking about the name is non-different from Krishna and like that. That would be sambandha.
And the goal to attain prema by chanting.
But yeah, prema. So prema would be prayojana, but this is abhideya, so the process. So it's either what's favorable for chanting or what's not favorable for chanting. Right? So then this is the point, is that the holy name alone is what will work. Right? You know, so there, and that all the learned scriptures, right? One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. If one chants the holy name of the Lord and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. So all that is the glory of the holy name. That's the whole point. Our process is we just take shelter of the holy name. We're not worried about anything else. Right? It's like there's something wrong, we need to chant more. You know? If there's some misunderstanding, we need to understand more bhakti and practice it more properly. There is no material solution to any material problem. There's material duties, but we're doing them to please Krishna. Yes.
It's described that Gandhi died when mentioning the name Lord Ram, he was killed. But then somebody told it, the astrologer told it, he was born as a dog somewhere.
Well, that Nehru was born as a dog. Nehru was born as a white dog. Like that. Him, I don't know. I never heard anything where he was born or something. Huh?
Oh, Nehru was born as a dog.
A white dog, I think
in Sweden.
You know, white matches the snow. You know. The corners in the houses, the little white, you know, so you could stand in the corner, you wouldn't see him. You know. Some big astrologers in India probably quoted it. So, yeah. Because the whole point was you know, since the mid-1800s was Swaraj, too, that India can follow its own culture. Like that. But as soon as they got the independence, then Nehru immediately took it into industrialization and Western culture. So he wasn't interested at all in the Vedic culture thing. He was a total atheist. Like that. So then it actually didn't work out. And then Jinnah also was just political. He just wanted his own country.
But
who? Jinnah. That I'm not sure. It doesn't. We haven't heard anything about that. So the point is, but there is. So it wasn't in line. So he was just completely committed to Western culture and all that. So like that, he was like a dog, you know, in the and you know after the Western. So he became a white dog. Mm-hmm. You know, matches. Srila Prabhupada comments. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.6, yam yam vapi smarad bhavam. Tyajat yante kalevaram. Tam tam evaiti kaunteya sara tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident, even without such practice. However, if one somehow or another chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, when he meets with an accident and dies, he will be saved from hellish life after death. Right, so that means anybody would get that. They're saved from hellish life. Doesn't mean they go back to Godhead, right? Because they're just chanting. They don't know why. They're just chanting. So they'll be saved from that. But the devotees are chanting, and so they're remembering Krishna. Then they go to Krishna. The Vishnu Dutas continue. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement. And one should undergo lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonements. So you have severe, more severe, most severe. So most severe is a heavier sin, and severe is lighter. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activity, so whatever the level, regardless of whether heavy or light. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. Right? So that means we'll be doing these things, austerity, charity, vows, and other methods, if they're recommended as duties. Because we're just doing it as devotional service. We're not doing them as something to get a material benefit from as a side thing. Right, because you have your required duties, then you have extra things you can do to get extra benefit. So that's what we leave out. Right, but the daily activities that are common between the Vaishnavs, the Brahmins, the Smartas, the Karmakandi, all these that's the same. That doesn't change. Right, but the real point of nitya. Doesn't mean just that you're doing it daily. It's nitya means it's being done in connection with the Lord. So the Brahmins look at it that it's nitya because I do it on a daily basis. The Vaishnavas look at it as nitya because I do it to please the eternal, means the supreme nitya or Krishna. Right? So it's the same activity, but we don't call the activity itself the nitya karma. We call it devotional service is the nitya. Does that make sense? So the duties of nitya and naimittik are the same. Right. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. 16-17. In his commentary, verse 17, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. By such atonement, sins are destroyed, puyante. The verbal root is pum, which means to destroy. However, these atonements do not destroy the subtle root, hridayam, of the sins, adharmajam. By serving the feet of the Lord, by bhakti to the Lord, by one method, such as chanting among the nine processes, the root of sin is destroyed, since chanting destroys even the desire for sin. Right, so by chanting, the desire for sin is removed. So we no longer have that desire to sin. That's coming from the name. Right? So that's the whole point. We're making an effort to try to control the senses and these kind of things. And then the Lord is pleased and reciprocates by giving that control. But it's not that our practicing of the control is what gives the control. Right? It's by pleasing the Lord we get that control.
Yes.
That's the whole point. But we should be making it an effort. How do you know that you want it unless you're making an effort? Right. The Vishnu Dutas continue. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. That's why dry grass. You have a field of dry grass or a clump of dry grass, it's just burned to ashes automatically. Right? You have wet grass, something might burn, something not, you know, or wood and it's wet or not. The dry grass is just gone. You're guaranteed ash. You know, that one you can be sure of, right? Okay, whether knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada comments. If a field of straw or dry grass is set afire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire or by a child who does not, the grass will be burnt to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But if one chants the holy name, he will become freed from all sinful reactions. Because the name is not different from Krishna, so... You know, we understand to some degree, but we haven't realized it's still removing all the impurities in the heart. Right? When we understand it's non-different from Krishna and you're chanting in that affection, that's a whole different category. But just that one's chanting, it's removing all impurities. So, yes. No, like that. There's no need to go to hell. Like, where you go, I don't know, but... yes.
There was no awakening to IBM before the time of death. So if he chants, eventually there will be an awakening.
Yes, but whether he actually awoke, it appears when he chanted, it's not necessarily he was awoken at that time. He became awoken during the conversation, the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. That's where he became really conscious.
There's no period in
between. It only takes a moment. Yeah, no, before that it didn't. Between when he was a young Brahmin and now, there was no awakening. Yes, but it is, whether he would chant at the time of death, he was calling his son Narayan. Now, if his son wasn't called Narayan, who knows what he would have been saying.
So someone, maybe, you know, like, for the time of death.
I don't quite catch the context.
There will be no awakening.
If there's no chanting, there's no awakening. How else would they awaken? I mean, even you listen to, you know, the soundtrack of Hair 100 times, there'll be no awakening. You know what I'm saying? It's only the holy name, you know, gained from the devotees. Then that way there'll be an awakening. Because the point is, it's the soul who wakes up. It's not that, oh, I things are nice, or I'm trying to be a nice guy, or I'm, you know, trying to, you know, be accommodating or humble. These are still not awake. That's more aware, but not actually awake. Awake means you understand you're the soul, you're not the body, you're servant of the Lord. That's actual. At least minimum is the understanding of the soul. But that means you actually understand that. Right? So you're interested in Brahman and all that. So things here you don't worry about. But if we understand we're serving a Krishna, that's then the easiest to get that kind of awakening. That's the meaning of Atato Brahma Jivyasa. Right? So that's the awakening. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays it's used rather loosely. You know, it's a good title for a movie and stuff like that. But what has awakened, you don't know. It can be a whole, you know, field of zombies. It can be, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, it doesn't have to be actually, you know, the soul has awakened to Krishna consciousness. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It is said that desire for sin is also described by practice of pure devotion.
By chanting.
So we see some cases like after getting initiation, a practice of many years. Sometimes.
Yeah, but how do you define short time? How are you defining short time?
I'm telling after initiation.
I know, but how are you defining short time? You said short time, I didn't say short time.
No, after practice.
Yes. But you're saying many years.
Yes.
What's many?
5 years, 10 years.
Okay. How long have we been in the material world?
5 years.
Yes, so therefore, is 5 years, 10 years a long time? So it can be as short as a moment and as long as when you leave your body. Somewhere in between.
Yes. Yes. But you say that chanting removes the desire for sin. But again, there is, as in Bhagavad Gita also said, even sadhu, apachesudharatara. So sometimes accidental fall down can also happen. So when we are hearing the desire for sins also gone away, so what the does it make the person again getting those desires to do sin? And is it because material?
Didn't we discuss this? This is what we've been discussing for the last so many days.
Yes.
You're not catching. So, you weren't here at the beginning of class when we were talking about the snake and the snake with the teeth removed and all that.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. It's still not the same as the karmas. We like to make it out the same as the karmas. That's what the Yamadutas did. But the Vishnudutas pointed out it's not. So that's by habit, you know, that these things come up. Or, you know, moments when we're not Krishna conscious. Right? We're moving forward because of Krishna consciousness. So if we're not Krishna conscious, that means we're conscious of something else other than Krishna. And if it's something else other than Krishna, what is it? You know, are we worried about performing the Shraddha rite for our, you know, father or grandfather? You know, is that? Are we worried about, you know, the morning puja and, you know, all the different cleanliness and we need some new pots for paraphernalia for that? Or my kusasan is getting a little afraid, I should get a new one of those? Or, you know, my dhoti has a hole in it, and, you know, I need to wear that for doing the puja, or, you know, the bathroom's not clean enough, or, you know, when your mind gets distracted, what is it? It's just going to all these really nice, really, you know, proper, Jaimini would be proud of you thoughts. Right? Yes, so then that's your consciousness. But it doesn't mean the reaction from that's not removed and that the desire is not, but it says according to the degree of surrender, they're being removed. So the point is the name can remove all of them, but it will remove according to how much you. So enough is removed, you're not going to hell. But if you want to develop love for Krishna, then you have to keep at it. It is a reciprocation. It's not just magic. You know? Not, you know what I'm saying? It's not that I walk out of the temple room and get hit by lightning and then I'm a pure devotee or something. You know, or we're in the temple and the lightning bolt comes through the roof and we get hit by lightning and then we're a pure devotee. you know. But it hits us, we become the pure devotee, but all the German guys around us, then they all die. You know, we're not talking like that stuff. Right? Yes? No? Okay. Yes.
Sometimes we have a doubt that Srila Prabhupada, being a Prema Bhakta, he could instantly bring his followers on that same level, because he has that potency.
Yes.
But it didn't happen. He just gave a sadhana.
Oh, wow, this is a new one. This is new.
Okay.
Yiddish a cup.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the point is that because we have to choose, it's not that we're given, that it's a reciprocation. So when that is that mood, then that's reciprocated. So unless we have that mood, then that, how will we reciprocate with that? Because the point is, as you see, persons on that level have zero taste for the material world. Would we be comfortable with having zero taste but still having some leftover desires? There would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, then according to how we develop and all that is how Krishna reciprocates. That's as you surrender, he reciprocates. So if you have that mood and can maintain that mood, Krishna will reciprocate. Like that devotee who stayed up all night dancing. He actually stayed up all night. He didn't think, wow, this is cool, all dance, you know, and then after 10 minutes get tired and, you know, well, it's actually better, you know, then I'll be too tired in the morning, I won't be able to do my service, I'll go to sleep. And, no, he just stayed up and chanted. You know, so then he reciprocates. So in other words, that it's not that, that can't happen in any moment, but we have to be, that's what we have to want. So it's not that we can't get that right now. We can. Because the point is there is no time and space when it comes to Krishna and the spiritual master. And like that. Yes?
An extreme example would be the boatman who rescued the boat from the ocean was floating and I was touching the boat. Mm. He couldn't stop chanting and he was experiencing great ecstasy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I think he was asking them to get rid of this.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, like that. But everybody else was thinking, wow, cool. He's thinking that. So that's the point, is that we have to be comfortable with it. Because we're a person. That's the thing we sometimes have, a mystic ideal just happen. It will just happen, but we'll be, you know, have the consciousness that will be comfortable for us. We're thinking, I'll do nothing, it'll just happen. I'm chanting, everything will be perfect. And it will be, but we should be aware of what is perfect. Does that make sense? That's why we study, so that we're aware. We see, okay, this is how they're doing things. This is how these great personalities, so we're aware of that. Then if we want that, then Krishna can give it. Otherwise, we don't know what. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not that, you know, the gopis, you know, it's their part of their practice, you know, of advanced devotional services. When they see horses, they just stop them, you know, grab their reins or lay down in front of them. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's the love for Krishna. And so that's just a manifestation. Otherwise, every time we go along, we run out there and grab the horses. You know what I'm saying? So the mentality, if that's there, then the other comes. Because if the other comes and we don't have the mentality, we won't be happy.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Is that I go. Yes. You say a threshing machine, you know, you put the rice in, it takes the husk off. So whether it's in heaven or hell, it just threshes rice. You know, that's the point. So it does what it does. It doesn't matter where it is. So we use that rather than the situation. When that's like that, then I'll be Krishna conscious. But because that Krishna consciousness being independent is not dependent upon the situation. These are situations that are recommended simply because we respond better to them. You know, that's why we tend to do kirtan on the sidewalk rather than the middle of the highway. Technically, you could, you know, do that, and that'd be great, you know, like that. So, you know, how was the Harinam today? Yeah, it was great, you know. 3/4 of the devotees went back to Godhead during the Harinam. Like that. Like, wow, that's it. So, you know, we do what's so we do what, you know, it's recommended. Really fast path. Yes. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajamil from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death." Right, so they gave all the points, gave all the different things, what was his position, gave the adjudication, because he was going to go for judgment. So the point is yes, he should be judged, but not by the Yamadutas and Yamaraj. He would be judged by the Lord and the Vishnudutas. Right? So he was judged and he was found worthy. Right? So then he moves on. "My dear Maharaj Parikit, O subduer of all enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened." Srila Prabhupada comments. In this verse, the word pratyudita, having been replied to by the order carriers of Vishnu, is very significant. The servants of Yamaraj are so powerful that they can never be hindered anywhere. But this time they were baffled and disappointed in their attempt to take away a man they considered sinful. Therefore, they immediately returned to Yamaraj and described to him everything that had happened. Right? Because he's, you know, death is all pervading, you know, and so therefore they are also as his representatives. So this is the only time in history they have been thwarted. So this is, you know, what does this mean? Right? You know, so talk about a crisis of faith here. Right? Okay, you know, this is really, you know, so now, do they keep following Yamaraj or are they not? Let's see, what to do?
They're going to ask the
questions. They're going to ask the questions, yeah. Is that, you know. Verses 22-38. Ajamil shows remorse and resumes his devotional practice. Right, because he was doing devotional service before. But as it was pointed out by the Acharyas, or I think it's not the Yamadutas themselves, and then the Acharyas then agreed. He was doing it like a smarta Brahman. He was doing the devotional activity, but without actually any devotion. So it was actually bhakti misra karma. Mm-hmm. Right? So now he'll go back to the same activities, but now with devotion. So therefore you can say he returned to his devotional activities, because the activities are the same. And that small amount of bhakti that was there, now that becomes the prominence. So now we'll call it, you know, but now we'll say he's a devotee.
Yes, yes. Okay. Serious one.
Yes, the serious one. In verses 22-38, Ajamil, being snapped back to reality by the intense events that took place, felt extreme remorse for having neglected his prescribed duties, and thus he decided to again take up the process of pure devotional service, renouncing his sinful activities and giving up the conception of I and mine. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues, "Having been released from the nooses of Yamaraja's servants, the Brahmana Ajamil, now free from fear, came to his senses and immediately offered obeisances to the Vishnudutas by bowing his head at their lotus feet. He was extremely pleased by their presence, for he had seen them save his life from the hands of the servants of Yamaraj. O sinless Maharaj Parikit, the order carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnudutas, saw that Ajamil was attempting to say something, and thus they suddenly disappeared from his presence." right? Because I was going to say something. Out of there, right? So, yeah.
Nobody around.
No, but the point is that, you know, then he may say like this, but the point is he hasn't come to the proper place yet. They've come to save him, not to take him like this. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said that in Kali Yuga, one has a maximum lifetime of 100 years. But as people become degraded, the duration of the life decreases. Prayenal payusha. Because Ajamiya was now freed from all sinful reactions, his lifetime was extended. Right? Because if there's no reactions, you'd live to 100. Right? If there's reactions will shorten it. So by the lifestyle he was leading, definitely that was going to, you know, just that it was down to 88, that was pretty good. You know. So the piety that must have been there from being born in the high-grade Brahmin family, performing all those activities, must have been, you know, enough. Because otherwise, if he was born today, he'd probably be, you know, I say. Yeah.
So, when a person lives a long time, it is a sign of piety?
At least in that area. Anything, the length of life, education, beauty, social status, influence, wealth, knowledge, detachment, these are all opulences that are coming from piety. So people live long, yeah, there's something there. Most likely you'll see is they live a very simple, regulated life. Like that. Mm-hmm. So that's generally we find. The ones that have the burn it at both ends, generally they don't last so long, right? You know. What's his name? Something Sheen? Charlie Sheen. Now that lifestyle, that's not going to get you to 100. You know, so. Right. Oh, here we go. Because Ajamiya was now free from all sinful reactions, his lifetime was extended, even though he was to have died immediately. Footnote 24. In his commentary to this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, although Ajamiya had some remaining time left, because of sins his lifespan was reduced according to scriptural laws. Knowing this, the servants of Yama began pulling him from his body. This time was designated as his time of death, but actually because of the destruction of his sins, his life did not end at that time. Thus, the Vishnu Dutas disappeared since he had remaining time left, right? Because they will be there only to take him at the time of death. So now, because of him being cleared from sins, this wasn't his time of death. Therefore, then they disappeared. Right? Because otherwise, you say, why'd they disappear? When the Vishnu Dutas saw Ajamil trying to say something to them, they disappeared to give him a chance to glorify the Supreme Lord. Since all his sinful reactions had been vanquished, he was now prepared to glorify the Lord. Indeed, one cannot glorify the Lord unless one is completely free from all sinful activities. This is confirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moham nirmukta bhajante mam drita vrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Right? So that means they're determined, they're fixed. Like that. So that's the stage that we were talking before. That's when things work very, very nicely. Right? So when it comes to that, we gain. So that means if that's not happening, the determination, what's going on? Not as much piety in previous lives than or this life, you know, and so and what do you call it? And, you know, there's still the aspect of duality of delusion. We still think that there's something material of benefit. So then it will slow things down. But if we continue to chant, that will remove all further sins, we'll gain more knowledge and detachment, that we will come to that point. So the point is, if you continue, one will come to this point of determination. It's just a matter of how determined you are, determined to come to this point of determination. Right? So. The Vishnu Dut has made Ajamila aware of devotional service so that he might immediately become fit to return home back to Godhead, right? So in their explanation to the Yamadutas, they're describing devotional service, right? So it had a dual meaning. One, it explained everything to the Yamadutas so that they understood what the position was. We get the benefit of hearing that. Ajamil gets the benefit of hearing that. Right? So we know the superiority of devotional service. Yes? No, no, it's like that. Because Vishnu Sahasranam, a lot of the names are about his greatness. You know, how he's all pervading, how he's the creator, he's the maintainer, destroyer, he knows all things like this. So these are the, so there's a lot of what you call secondary names. Like that. Does that make sense? But primary names, like, you know, like Krishna, Jashoda Nandana, Nandanandana, Gopijana Vallabha, these are direct names because they're talking about Krishna in relationship to his devotees. So we generally use those. It's not that they're also fine. But it doesn't matter. Here he said Narayan, so that would be within the Vishnu Sahasranam. That got him freed from all sins. So you don't have to be chanting, you know, Krishna dancing with the gopis with his, you know, how you say, you know, like that. We don't have to use a name like that.
So like even the secondary names, they liberate from all sins and liberation, but his primary, they are more to do with developing love.
Yes, you could say like that. They'll be more effective. But if you want to go to Vaikuntha and that, these names like this, but still, this is their move. You know, so it works for them. We only make the distinction pretty much because of Braj. For Vaikuntha, all the names are good. Does that make sense? To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so that he would feel separation in their absence. In the mode of separation, glorification of the Lord is very intense, right? So now he's gone through that. He wants to say something. They disappear, so now that desire will be there. So now he'll continue. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. Right, because otherwise he may say something and then his desire goes down, but if they disappear, then the desire increases. Right? So that's why Krishna is the expert doctor. Right? He knows how to deal. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. After hearing the discourses between the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas, Ajamil could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of material nature. These principles are mentioned in the three Vedas. He could also understand the transcendental religious principles, which are above the modes of material nature and which concern the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Ajamil heard glorification of the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thus became a perfectly pure devotee. He could then remember his past sinful activities, which he greatly regretted having performed. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Hearing the pure Dharma beyond the gunas approved by the Lord from the servants of Vishnu, and the impure Dharma which takes shelter of the gunas, recommended in the three Vedas from the servants of Yama, Ajamil became a devotee. So he heard both, and then he could tell the difference. Okay. So that's the advantage of being able to accept the Vedic. Then we can tell the difference between the Vedic and devotional service. Otherwise, if we don't accept the Vedic, then many times we make the mistake of thinking the Vedic is devotional service. Right? So we have to be very, very careful there. You understand? The Vedic is what's recommended to engage in devotional service, but it's not automatically devotional service. Right? But if we take activities that are not recommended, that are just popular activities or popular lifestyle, then, does that make sense? Then we won't be able to tell the difference, really. Right? Because of not being able to tell the difference, then we start to do aropia, put on, well, you know, in the spiritual world, you know. Like that. Pizza's so good, they must be eating pizza in the spiritual world. You know? Like that. So then the whole point is then, nice, but even if they are, It's you know, in the unlimited, how many kinds of pizza do you know? Right? And so the pizza that you eat, you know, even if they did cook it, they would cook it once and then it's gone. Because she never cooks the same thing twice. So your concept of what is pizza also would be gone. So once in eternity it was cooked, and so then that's it. You know what I'm saying? So it still doesn't work, because we don't understand the Vedic of how variety works and the subtleties and all those kind of things. And the people who are saying this, what do they eat? Guarantee that they have a very narrow range of what they eat in pizza. That's another thing. That's a more advanced discussion. But this we're talking about a very base, where we're projecting simply because I like it and think it's good, it must be in the spiritual world. You know what I'm saying? So, yes.
This is why in the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first thing he said, Varnashrama, it has nothing to do with devotional service.
Yes, yes.
Because they were on that level already, they were functioning.
Yes, yes.
But then for us, it's we're not clear what it is, so to distinguish, it's difficult.
Yes, so that's why it's important. So we'll take it, oh, that means he rejected Varnashram. But the whole point is Ramananda Roy still identifies and does the duties of his position. Lord Chaitanya still does his, so does Srup Damodar, so does who's Vishakha. No, that was Ramananda Roy. Okay, that's what I didn't know. You know, so then they're all doing all these things themselves. So then if it's been rejected, why are they following it? So it's rejected that's devotional service. No, it's being engaged in devotional service. It's like saying my cooking pot is devotional service. It's such a good quality pot, like that, very high-end pot, and that it is devotional service. No, you engage it in devotional service. Same way as that of social systems, the Vedic is the best, but it's still not devotional service. So that's the whole point, as he was just saying. Just engaging that in the Lord's service, then that's the goal. No, that's just what you do. Then it's the mood that's... So, but the point is if Varnashram is rejected, then anything lower is also rejected. So, yeah. So that's the problem that comes up. But yes, they're starting on that level and going up, because they're actually seeing what is the mood. As you can see, though, Lord Chaitanya is asking questions in such a way to elicit those answers, but he's taking him up through that. At the same time as Ramananda Rai is qualified to discuss that. You know, so therefore as the Lord hints at something, then he gives that answer, and so then there's the taste for the Lord. So they have the taste, they're tasting Prayojana, and we get to learn some nice facts and figures. Because that being Prayojana is a ways off for us. You know, like you said, we're still trying to figure out, you know, what do we do with Varnashram?
Yeah, it's a matter of identity, actually.
Yes.
Whether it's Western or Indian or Varnashram or whatever it is.
It's the most pious of all identities.
Yeah.
That's all. But we don't identify with it doesn't mean we don't use it. Like that. Because if you're in a situation, then if you're the pujari and there's the deities, who stands where and who's waving the lamp? So you have to understand is I'm the pujari, but I'm not the pujari. Means that's me, the soul. That's the service that I'm rendering. That's the position. So you have to be able to tell I'm the pujari, but I'm not the pujari. That's where the difficulty comes in, is because it's two opposed, seemingly opposing mentalities in life. Does that work? Okay, so here he's regretting his previous sinful activities. That doesn't mean he's lamenting. He's regretting that he got involved and he allowed himself to get distracted like that. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a difference between in the present saying that's wrong, don't do that, and oh, I'm so useless, I'm so this, I'm so disgusting, you know, like this. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, right? So that's the problem that we discussed the other day, that some devotees want to see regret, but which one do they want to see? They want to see lamentation. Yeah. They don't want to see knowledge, the present and knowledge, because that's done, now you move on. They want to see you always in regret, because then it's something that can last. So they want to see illusion. So this is not a solution. Resolution, disillusion, no solution. Hearing the pure Dharma beyond the gunas approved by the Lord from the servants of Vishnu, and the impure Dharma which takes shelter of the gunas recommended by the three Vedas from the servants of Yamaras, Ajamil became a devotee, so he could distinguish. Right? Ajamil said, "Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became." Right? He's not talking about right now. That's what I became. "I fell down from my position as a duly qualified brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute." Right? Because that's how he was seeing. He wasn't just seeing, oh, here's a nice girl, I want to marry her. Right? He's seeing her in that mood. He's his wife, but the mentality, he wants to marry someone who has that kind of mentality. Right? Srila Prabhupada comments, "The men of the higher caste, the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, do not beget children in the wombs of lower class women. Therefore, the custom in Vedic society is to examine the horoscopes of a girl and boy being considered for marriage to see whether the combination is suitable. Vedic astrology reveals whether one has been born in the Vipra Varna, Kshatriya Varna, Vaishya Varna, or Sudra Varna, according to the three qualities of material nature. This must be examined because a marriage between a boy of the Vipra Varna and a girl of the Sudra Varna is incompatible. Married life would be miserable for both husband and wife. Consequently, a boy should marry a girl of the same category. Of course, this is trigunya, a material calculation according to the Vedas. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. A devotee is transcendental, and therefore in marriage between devotees, the boy and girl form a very happy combination." So the point is it's not because of their charts they're doing well. Yes. It's because of devotional service. They have that as a common benefit. That will make it go very nicely. Yeah. So if the charts match or don't match, if you have that position, you can make it work. But the point is it's the custom, because in case there's a moment, you know, in case there's a moment where there's some shortage in Krishna consciousness, the marriage will still work. Like that. But, you know, it does happen now and again. You hear about it. There's moments here and there.
But if there's a moment in marriage that is not working, so you can call on Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Yes, but then you have to be steady in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So that's why it's practiced, but it's not the main thing. The main point is Krishna consciousness. Because even if they do have great charts, if they're not Krishna conscious, it won't work. Even if they have great charts, they don't know what they're doing, it won't necessarily work. Like that. Like that. So that's the point. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be Krishna conscious.
Right. In the beginning of ISKCON, it was no question of shop for the marriage.
Because everybody was committed to Krishna consciousness, yeah. And it was about, you know, who matched nicely as mentalities. Yes. Like that. So that worked very nicely up to the point when it was more looking at how the temple would benefit. When it was about Krishna conscious marriage, it worked very nicely. But when it was, you know, okay, this temple president has a nice boy and we have a nice girl, but the girl is the top Sankirtan girl, I don't want to lose her, so I'll marry her to someone in the temple here. That's the point when it stopped working. You know what I'm saying? But if they continued that same mood, okay, he marries her, that's not a big problem. You could do, because Krishna conscious is the basis. But here it wasn't. It was other considerations. So they're not actually looking at the nature of the individuals. So because that came up, then they don't see natures. And then therefore they also can't engage anybody else according to the natures. And then you have the problem, who's in the temple, who wants to work with the temple. Because of that. You know, but then they'll see the community makes it work. But it's the same thing. You don't know what you're doing, the community won't work either. Point is you have to understand nature, then everything will work. I said something wrong? Or?
No.
You were a really big Samkirtan girl, and so there.
Huh? Astasatikabhava.
See, hearing Bhagavatam, then all the transcendental ecstasies are coming. Yes, yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.